1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2 are what we want to focus on tonight for just a short while. Thank the Lord for good news. Amen. Good news. Praise God. Elena has got an extra band on her left hand. That's good news. Praise God. Amen. We offer our congratulations on her marriage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God. And we're glad to see Sister Seagraves again, that she's here. Amen. A special day coming up on Christmas Day. We're hoping to dedicate Beatrice to the Lord. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Praise God. Say something for the Lord, Sister Seagraves. God bless you. All right. Praise God. A special time for family to come together and certainly for this occasion. Amen. A precious little one added to the family. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, also verse 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Everybody say gospel. Which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, lots of things done in vain in our world, in our society. We certainly don't want to fall into this category that the apostle is warning about. Don't believe in vain. Amen. But let the gospel continue affecting your life. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. The good news that began at Bethlehem. In the Greek, gospel has the meaning a good message. A good message. So indeed, it is good news. The angels brought good tidings. Great joy. They sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Yeah. Praise God. Angels can bring different kinds of messages. Yeah. And we read in Revelation, where in the latter part of the book, there's going to be 21 angels with a message that's not very good. At least not for the inhabitants of man. That's not what we're looking at, though. We're looking to be gone. Praise God. Amen. The seven seals that will be broken, the seven trumpets that will sound, and the seven bowls that will be poured out all speak of drastic judgment. Angels can bring those kinds of messages, but praise God, they brought a great message, a good message. Amen. Thank the Lord. Simeon, likewise, spoke of good things, salvation, and a light to lighten the Gentiles. Anna, these are the elders that saw Jesus when he was brought to the temple. Anna gave thanks and spoke of redemption. The wise men called him the king. They said the king of the Jews, but in reality, he is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. They brought their worship, they gave their gifts. And so all of it we see as being indeed good news. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's a glorious gospel that we can believe and put our trust in. I'm thankful that God uses light. I'm thankful that he is set apart from darkness. And the beginning in creation, Genesis chapter 1, he said, let there be light, and he divided light from the darkness, and that's certainly something we need to be doing today. Amen. Step away from darkness. Be delivered from darkness. and move into the light that the Lord extends to us as we follow him. Light was prominent at the birth of Christ. The glory of God shone when the angels appeared to those shepherds. And you can imagine the night sky being lit up like that, how frightened they were at that phenomenon, because I doubt that any of them had seen anything like that before. But the spiritual light Simeon spoke of to lighten the Gentiles, thank God, there's the natural light and the spiritual light, and the spiritual light being even more powerful. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 makes mention of the God of this world. The God of this world is opposed to the God of heaven. The God of this world is going to try to ruin the work that the chief shepherd is attempting to do in our lives. He will blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, notice this now, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil blinds. The devil deceives. And unbelief is what he imparts into our minds and in our hearts, which will blind us to the blessings that God wants to bring into our experience. But as we recognize Christ is the image of God, and he can shine to light our way, praise God, that darkness is divided. It's pushed aside, and we walk in the light. Look at verse 6 of that passage in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Paul is looking all the way back to the beginning, and he's rejoicing in this fact that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and now he brings it up to date, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Talking about this light, this knowledge, this experience that comes in recognizing who Jesus is. A little babe in a manger, in a stable, in a faraway town, a small little village, a little hamlet that didn't hardly register a mark on the map, I suppose, in those days. But, oh my, good news. Good news. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, the apostle talks about the power of that gospel. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now, he's not belittling the word of God. Understand that. He's not saying the word as far as what is in Scripture, as far as what we call the Bible. He's not saying that's nothing. He's simply comparing what people might say as compared to what they might do or what would happen as a result of that word. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Praise God. I'm glad that's the way it works. I'm thankful we're not just throwing around words of philosophy and debating those things like they did on Mars Hill in Athens, the court of Areopagus, and inscriptions to this God and that God, even one to the unknown God. And Paul stood up boldly and preached. Let me tell you who he is. He's Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And the change that came because the word of God is powerful in the spirit with much assurance. And that's what we put our trust in today as well. Romans 15 and 19 speaks also of this power that becomes very practical in the experience of those who know what God can do. Romans 15, 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is where the maps come in handy in the back of your Bible. We hardly ever pay attention to them. I guess a good place to put sticky notes, good place to put your scraps of paper and so on, extra Kleenex. My aunt used to hide a $20 bill in her Bible because she knew nobody would open it. Nobody would look in there, and so a $20 bill for emergency money was safe, hidden in her Bible. Well, here's the maps. You can take a look. From Jerusalem to Illyricum, that region up in the Adriatic Sea across from Italy, is about 1,200 miles. And 1,200 miles to us is not that far. Well, it is far, but we cover it pretty easily now. In their day, in Paul's day, ships and camels and your own 2 feet took a long time to travel that distance. But everywhere they stopped, everywhere he went, every place that he ministered, there was mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. There wasn't one culture that could defeat the gospel. There wasn't one empire that could hold it back. There wasn't one place that the devil ruled that the Lord could not step in and set people free and bring deliverance. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful there's power in this gospel. I'm thankful that we know how great and how wonderful God is. Amen. Colossians 1 and 5. Colossians 1, 5. For the hope which was laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Amen. Thank God. The truth of the good news. Not just good news, just some kind of temporary uplift, some kind of little veneer, facade type thing that just makes it look good for a while until it crumbles and falls apart again. No, this is the truth. This is the truth of the gospel. Praise God. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. I'm thankful that there is power in the truth of God's word, the full truth of God's word. Not partial, not part, but fullness. The full truth. Praise God. Because this gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptizer preached about the kingdom of heaven being at hand, and he said very powerfully, repent. Amen. Repent. Yes. Jesus preached about the gospel of the kingdom. He was teaching. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 4 and 23, and he was healing all that came to him. What an incredible display of the power of the kingdom. I like what Mark 1 and 14 says. Now after that, John was put in prison. It would seem as though this is the end of an era. This is the end of a ministry. This is the end of the work of God. We might as well go home and forget about it. No, no. When John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news. Get ready to receive what God has for you. Be ready to turn. That's what repentance means. Turn from what you used to being and turn towards what God has for you so that you can receive all that the Lord desires, because Jesus promised. He promised. Luke 12 and 32. Fear not. Oh, I like the way the Word of God emphasizes that command over and over. Fear not. Be not afraid. Because of the power that he is able to bring as good news. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. I like the way the Lord talked about Solomon and how grand and how wonderful his kingdom was and how wise he was and so on. And then he said, but a greater than Solomon is here. Praise God. That's kind of an understatement, isn't it? Greater than Solomon is here. Praise God. It pleases God for you to be open to receive his kingdom that he wants to impart to you. You want to see the Lord smile? You open your heart. You open your life and let Him change. Let Him bless. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him provide for you. Turn loose of the garbage in your life. Turn loose of all of that stuff that the devil would try to drag you down with. And reach out for what is going to please the Lord. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, praise God. Isn't this good news? Amen. Thank God. So many people see serving God as being a drudgery, a drag, a problem, a difficulty, a burden. So restrictive, so hard, so difficult. Baloney. It's good stuff. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord wanted to make sure you didn't miss how simple it is to receive His kingdom. He said, be born again so that you can see the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, He said, be born of the water and of the spirits. He expanded that. He elaborated on it so that we would understand what He meant about being born again. Be born of the water and of the spirits so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And we know what the apostles did. They preached baptism in the wonderful name of Jesus, and they preached the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues to know that you have been born of the water and you have been born of the Spirit so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. Now, Romans 14 and 17 tells us what the kingdom does not consist of, as well as tells us what the kingdom of God does consist of. It's not meat or drink. It's not those tangible things. I'm thankful that the Lord blesses us with tangible, concrete evidence of His goodness. The blessings that are there. Praise God. That gives glory to Him because He answers our prayers. He ministers to our needs. He heals our bodies. He provides for us in so many ways. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. It's those things that you can't put a price on. It's those things that you don't find as a commodity on the shelf in the local supermarket. It's not something that you make a purchase of online or any other way. You find it in the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, there's dangers of trying to change or hide the gospel. Paul makes some very strong statements in Galatians chapter 1 concerning the gospel, or another gospel. Don't leave the grace of Christ, he said, for another gospel. You're going to find out that's a perversion of the gospel that the Lord would give to you. And then he says that even stronger, if any man, or if an apostle, or if an angel comes and preaches another gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. It's pretty strong language. It's because it's so important to be able to hold to the good news that we know is in the Scripture. Now, we know the devil is trying to pervert the gospel. He's trying to change the gospel. He's trying to make it seem as though you don't have to do all of the things that the Bible says. But Paul's warning is very strong, and he lends credence to it again in 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, where he talks about someone who would preach another Jesus, or you might receive another spirit, or you might accept another gospel. No, we're not going to do those things. Amen. We're not going to change or exchange this good news for something that is not going to be as powerful and as necessary. Now, back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You don't put a veil on it like Moses put a veil on his face when his face was shining. You don't hide it. Because if you hide the power of the gospel, the lost are the ones who are going to lose out even more. The lost are who Jesus came to seek and to save. That's why there's a Christmas. That's why there's an Easter. And everything in between, in those 33 years, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In Luke 15, Jesus told parables of lost and found. The coin that was lost, the sheep that was lost, and the effort that went forth into finding both of those entities. And then he made it even more personal, even more human. He said, a son was lost but now is found. A son was dead and is alive again. And there was rejoicing because of the lost and found. Praise God. And moreover, the Lord said, there's joy in heaven. Joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Praise God. Amen. We rejoice here. And we are thrilled here when someone repents, gets baptized, gets filled with the Holy Ghost, completes a Bible study, whatever it is, we celebrate. Praise God. Oh, imagine the joy in heaven. Glory to God. Now, the gospel is necessary for salvation. Look at the progression in Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's quite a progression there, isn't it? There's a number of things that are taking place. It's not just static. It's not just dry, old, dusty words that aren't going to have any effect or meaning or impact in your life. Oh, no. This is powerful stuff. Praise God. You heard, you trusted, you believed, you were sealed. Amen. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's why it's so important to keep that renewed and refreshed in your life. Keep it going. Keep it moving. Let it be in control. Praise God. The Holy Spirit of promise. Look at the progression that's in the text that we read in 1 Corinthians 15. There's a progression there as well. Paul said, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Yeah, right. If you keep in memory and don't believe in vain. In other words, let it be effective. Let it continue to work. You received it. You stand in it. You're saved by it. Keep going. Yeah. Amen. Don't step back. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. No doubt there were those who mocked him. There were those who challenged him. There were those who debated with him and disputed with him. And he would confidently declare in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Oh yes, thank God we've experienced how powerful it is. Amen. And everyone that believes. That's amazing, isn't it? Everyone. Regardless of their background, regardless of what has happened in their life prior to coming to the Lord, regardless of what has taken place, everyone that believes can experience the power of God unto salvation because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus included the gospel in the end time events. His disciples asked, when is that going to happen? And one of the signs he gave there in Mark 13 and 10, the gospel must first be published or preached among all nations. Now, we might think, wow, 7 billion people on the world, on the earth, how is all of them going to receive? Actually, the Bible in Acts 2 says that all the nations heard already. And so that promise has already been fulfilled. But we do our best to reach out to those around us. As I'm not going to reach 7 billion, but I can reach one. Amen. 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 And so can you. Praise God. So, we're redeemed, Revelation 5 and 9, we're redeemed to God by His blood. And this is how powerful, it's powerful for you. It's powerful to minister to your needs. It's powerful to heal your mind and your heart. That's how powerful the blood is. Praise God, to take care of every memory, every hurt, every wrong, every difficulty that you've been through. Thank God the blood washes us clean and we're pure in His sight. We're redeemed. Praise God. But notice how Revelation 5:9 is so inclusive. It's so expansive. It reaches every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. That's how powerful it is. That's how great our God is. And that's how He wants to include everyone. He's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. Amen. So we share the good news. Stand with me now. We share the good news. Amen. Jesus died, was buried, rose again. That's how Paul continues the opening of 1 Corinthians 15, where we read about the gospel. And he said, according to the scriptures, this is what happened. In other words, God had written it out in His plan long before it took place. But it did happen. God fulfills His word, even at great expense to Himself. Amazing to think that little baby in Bethlehem, vulnerable, helpless. The king, when the wise men told him, where is he that's born king of the when did this happen? About 2 years ago. We've been on this journey all that time. Well, when you find him, tell me so I can come and worship him. Then his worship turned into a slaughter, or his intent to worship turned into a slaughter of all the children 2 years and under. Now that's not good news, but that's what man does. That's what the devil does. Don't follow those ways. Follow the good news. Amen. According to the scriptures. Romans 6 says we're dead to sin. We're buried with Him in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. That's good news. Amen. Thank God we can rejoice in the good news. Paul said, keep it in memory. What I preach to you, keep it in your memory. Not just in your memory, but active in your life. Powerful in its impact. Strong in what the Spirit can do for you. Praise God. And then, share the good news. Glory to God. Share that good news. They don't have to suffer in disgrace. They don't have to be knocked down by disease. They don't have to live with that heartache. There's good news of what the Lord can do. Praise God. We can share that. We can let others know. Hallelujah. Why don't we come and pray and just ask the Lord to use us to share this good news today, the gospel, the good message. Amen. What the Lord can do in our lives.